All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. We're going to be looking at John chapter 21. Hopefully you guys had a good Thanksgiving weekend. UT football fans, it was a good Saturday. For Michigan fans, it was even a better Saturday. All right. We're actually going to be finishing off our series. We started our series on bold. This is actually the theme for us for this year. We're believing by faith that God is challenging us to believe and to obey, to listen to his voice and to really dream his dreams. And so we've been going through the book of Luke because it's not just about learning to be bold, but we wanted to really see how Jesus takes these fishermen. And so in the beginning, they're insignificant. The world considered them weak, uneducated men. Yet he walks with them and he matures them to become bold in their faith and in their followership of him, even to the point of laying down their lives in obedience. And so what we want to do is we're going to finish not in the book of Luke, but we want to jump to the book of John. John 21, I think this is a famous chapter that many of us know. It's talking about Peter's restoration from his failure. Because the reality is that even as we strive to walk with Christ, sooner or later, all of us will recognize that we're going to fail. We're going to encounter not only difficulties, but we're going to encounter times and experiences where we're going to fall short. And we need to be reminded over and over again that following Christ, that it's not just about learning to try harder, right? It's not just about expressing more determination or a fervent commitment in our followership of Christ. But following Christ is learning to depend on his grace over and over again. And this is the lesson that Peter learns. And I know that many of us, in fact, I would say all of us, we know the feelings of failing and falling short. I'm very familiar with that feeling, like when I was in high school and applying to some of my dream schools and didn't get into any of them. And I'm really feeling like I failed in that area. Or making a commitment to do better in my diet because I'm getting older and I need to do better. But then I see my son eating that instant ramen noodle cup. And, you know, that's my comfort food. And I'm like, oh, I can't resist. And so I have that cup too. Right? Or certain commitments that I make to God, saying that, okay, God, I'm not going to fail you in these areas of my life. But realizing that I've fallen short, that I failed to obey him, that I failed to love him. And it's really discouraging. It's really deflating. And I know that my tendencies of dealing with my failures and shortcomings is either to really become discouraged and ashamed or just to become really calloused. But I think the important question that we have to wrestle with this morning is, in our failures, in our shortcomings, how does Jesus deal with us? How does Jesus deal with our failures, and how does he deal with our shortcomings? And so this is where we come to John 21. And so let's start from 15, and we'll read all the way down to 19. John 21, 15 through 19. This is the word of God. It says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go.' This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" So as we look into today's passage, the one thing that I want to give us this morning is this: that when we fail him, Jesus rescues us through his love and restores us to his hope. During these seasons of experiencing failures and shortcomings, it's in these seasons that Jesus rescues us through his love and he restores us to his hope. So in order for us to fully understand the context of what's going on here, we have to jump back to Matthew 26. Because in Matthew 26, 31 through 35, this is what we read. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. So right before Jesus was led to be crucified, he tells his disciples that they're going to fall away. And then, of course, Peter, being a man of action, tells Jesus that, no, Jesus, I'm not like these other disciples. That my love for you is stronger than their love for you. That my commitment to you is greater than their commitment to you. That even though they might fall away, that I will never fall away. But of course, when Jesus is arrested, and we jump to Matthew 26, 74 through 75, and as Jesus is being questioned, Peter also at the same time is being questioned by those around him, whether he was with Jesus or not, and his self-confidence begins to crumble, and he does exactly what Jesus predicts that he would do. We read in Matthew 26, 74 through 75, then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Right? When the rubber met the road, so to speak, Peter strengthened his belief that he would do the right thing. Those things ultimately fail him. And so we come to John 21. Now, this is interesting because we're told that this is the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples. And his disciples are in Galilee because Jesus told them that that's where he was going. And so Jesus just performed a miracle by telling his disciples who were out fishing all night and they caught nothing. And again, Jesus tells them to throw their nets on the right side and they catch a large amount of fish. John specifically tells us that they gathered 153 large fish. And when they recognized that it was Jesus who was telling them this, Peter dives into the water to see Jesus. And the other disciples, they bring the fish ashore. And as they come ashore, we're told that Jesus had prepared breakfast for them. And after they finished breakfast, Jesus' attention now turns to Peter. And so what we want to explore is this question of how does Jesus help Peter to deal with his failures, and how does Jesus restore Peter back? How does Jesus rescue Peter through his love and restore him to his hope? Well, the first thing that we see is this, that Jesus sees and comes to Peter. That Jesus sees Peter and Jesus comes to Peter. And I think this is so important for us to remember that in our failures that Jesus sees us and that he comes to us. And I know that this is a very obvious observation that we make from this passage, but I think this is a really important observation that Jesus actually sees Peter and he comes to Peter. So think about someone who is dear to you. Someone who is, a family member, a close friend. Someone that you've placed your trust in, and that person failing you in a spectacular way or disappointing you, or in that time when you needed them the most, that they're nowhere to be found. It's really hard to try to seek out that person again, right? Because I don't know about you, but our tendency is, you know what, this person, they failed me, they let me down, and so I really don't want anything to do with them because I don't know if I can trust them again. And we notice that in this interaction, that this isn't just about Jesus forgiving Peter of his sins. Because that's the exact reason why Jesus went to the cross, to forgive us of our sins. And we're told that actually, even before this encounter, Jesus already appeared to Peter. In Luke 24:34, we're told that right after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to Peter. And so Peter has already encountered the risen Christ. And a lot of biblical scholars would speculate that it's probably in that first encounter with Christ that Peter experienced Jesus' forgiveness. So this goes beyond forgiveness, right? Because it's not just about Jesus telling Peter, Peter, you're all good. You're forgiven. But this is about Jesus reminding Peter that even though, yes, Peter failed in such a spectacular and public way, that his future is not defined by his failures and his shortcomings. But ultimately, Peter's future is defined by Jesus' death and resurrection. Now think about what Peter must have been wrestling with. Because it's not just failing your buddy. It's not just failing your teacher or your boss. But it's failing God. When he very fervently tells Jesus that I will never fall away, yet Peter falls away. And just think about what Peter must have been wrestling with in his heart. Thinking, does God want anything to do with me ever again? And even though, yes, God has spoken this purpose into my life, will I truly be part of that purpose that God has? But it's in that moment of wrestling with doubt, uncertainty, that Jesus comes to Peter. And Jesus lets Peter know, hey, I see you. And I am still seeking you out. That I'm still inviting you to be restored to me. And I want all of us to remember that. That in our failures, Jesus doesn't just shun us. He doesn't say, well, you know what? You fail me, so I'm done with you. He doesn't say, you know what? I don't know if I can rely on you ever again. But he says, no, I see you, and I still seek you out. And I still invite you to be part of my purpose. So Jesus sees him, and he comes to him. That in our failures, that Jesus sees us, and he comes to us. But as he comes to us, the second thing we notice is this, that Jesus begins to expose Peter's heart. That Jesus exposes our heart. So when Jesus speaks his love into our lives, that love, not only does that love comfort us, but that love actually challenges us to really see deep within. So when Jesus comes to Peter, he asks him three specific questions. Verse 15, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And then again in verse 16, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And then again in verse 17, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now we know that Jesus isn't asking Peter these questions in front of all the other disciples. Jesus is not doing this to embarrass him. Right? Jesus is not doing this to call him out. Jesus is not doing this to put Peter in his place. But so we have to remember that Jesus is doing this in the context of sitting around, what, a fire. And it was around a fire that Peter, what, denied Jesus. And Jesus asks Peter these three questions because Peter denied him three times. And Jesus asks Peter these questions, not in private, but in public, because Peter faltered in public. And so Jesus is asking these questions in front of others to Peter, not only to signal to Peter, but to signal to others that I am working in Peter's life to restore him back. Now let's think about the questions that Jesus is asking Peter, right? When he says, do you love me more than these? These meaning, do you love me more than these other men love me, right? Is your love for me really stronger than the love that these others have for me? Because if you remember, that's exactly what Peter declared to Jesus. But even if they all fall away, that I will never fall away. Even if their love for you falters, my love for you is stronger. My love for you is more fervent. And that will never falter. And so Jesus is asking Peter, Peter, do you really think that your love for me is stronger, is more, is greater than the love that these other brothers have for me? And so Jesus is really asking Peter, Peter, do you really think that you are better than these other men? Do you really think that it's your self-righteousness and your self-sufficiency that will somehow carry you forward in your faith to accomplish this mission, this vision that I've spoken into your life? Because if you think about who Peter is, that's exactly who Peter is. Right? Peter is the type who will take matters into his own hands. He's not going to ask others, what should we do? But he's a man of action. He's bold, he's strong. He knows his strengths. But what Jesus is asking of Peter is this: Peter, you once boasted that you were better than these others. But Jesus is asking Peter to consider his heart. Peter, how did you really do? Are you really as strong as you think you are? I think Peter is one of these guys who understood, yes, that God loved him. But I think Peter is also one of these guys that in order for him to be worthy of that love, that he had to be good enough, that he had to do enough, that he had to be fervent enough. I heard Pastor J.D. Greer, he's a pastor out in North Carolina. I heard him once say this, that it's not your sin that keeps you from Jesus. It's your self-righteousness, your abilities. Now think about what he's saying there, right? Because when we think about sin, we think about it in the context of, you know, these bad things, these immoral things, that I don't do any of these things that other people do. But he's saying, no. Your self-righteousness, your self-sufficiency, your abilities, they can also hinder you from experiencing God's grace and God's mercy. Because it's your self-righteousness and your self-sufficiency that really keeps you from knowing God's grace for you. And that really hinders you from learning to depend on Him. And so Pastor Greer, he points out the reality that for some of us, it's our gifts that keep us from realizing how dependent we really are on God. That it's our strength that keeps us from realizing just how weak and fragile we really are before God. That it's our self-righteousness that keeps us from realizing how desperately we need God's grace and mercy in our lives. And that's Peter. He thought somehow that he could muster enough strength and passion to see him through these challenges and the difficult times. But they failed him in spectacular ways. And I think that's many of us who grew up in the church as well. That we know, right? The things that we should do and the things that we shouldn't do. But it's us trying to do these things that we should do in our own righteousness, in our own strength, somehow thinking that we can earn God's love and God's favor. And when we strike that path, we experience over and over again that they fail us. And so Jesus comes to Peter and he points out his failures. He points out the struggles in his heart, not to shame him, but to help Peter to see that with all of his abilities and all of his passion, there's nothing that he can do to earn God's love and God's favor. That he cannot follow Jesus by trying to do better, by trying to stay more committed to Christ. And so Jesus, he does the hard work of exposing Peter's heart. Because when Jesus asks me, Peter, do you really believe that you love me more than these other men? Peter can't say in that moment, Jesus, you know that I love you more than these. No, he says, Jesus, you know that I love you. In other words, when you think about that response, when Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And when Peter says, Jesus, you know that I love you. I think Peter is painfully aware of his weaknesses. I think Peter is painfully aware of the fact that he failed Jesus when Jesus needed him the most. And so you think about how is Peter able to respond to Jesus in that moment to say, Jesus, you know that I love you. And I think it's because in that moment, Peter was able to realize that he can't love Jesus in his own strength. But I think that response of Peter saying, Jesus, you know that I love you, it's Peter appealing to Jesus' love for him. Right? It's finally Peter understanding that because Jesus loves him, and when there's nothing that he can do except to lean on the Savior's grace and mercy, that his love for him is a response to that grace and mercy. And that's the loving yet hard work that Jesus does in our lives as well. That when we fail him, and he, as he comes to us, as he sees us, he does that work of exposing our hearts, of really helping us to see that what we need the most in our lives and in our hearts is his grace and his mercy. That it's this lesson of realizing that we're never going to be strong enough. We're never going to be fervent enough. We're never going to be determined enough. We're never going to be committed enough. We're never going to do enough. But it's learning to lean into his grace. It's learning to lean into his mercy. It's learning to recognize and to admit to your shortcomings, your weaknesses. To say, Jesus, I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. But what I think to me, what's really incredible is that when Peter finally recognizes that weakness within him, that doesn't push him away from Jesus. Right? Peter doesn't say in that moment when Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter doesn't say, Jesus, I can't love you. But it's the grace and the mercy of God that sparks something within his heart to say, Jesus, I respond to your love. It's when Peter turns to Jesus and his weakness that he is able to appeal to Jesus' love for him. And so as Jesus exposes our hearts, the last thing that we notice is this, that Jesus ultimately restores Peter to his purpose. That Jesus restores us to our purpose. And so when Peter responds to Jesus' questions by answering, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus tells him over again. He says what? Feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And so what is Jesus doing? He is once again reaffirming the calling that he has spoken into Peter's life in Matthew 16:18, when he says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. That on you, Peter, that I will build my church. What is that process of building my church? It's shepherding his people. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And as Peter responds to Jesus' grace, Jesus restores Peter's purpose. And so it's really interesting because when you think about John 21, we know that the disciples are there because they're expecting Jesus to come. Yet in the beginning, they're out fishing. And so you think about like what's going on, and there's some debate amongst scholars as to exactly what's going on, because some will say, well, they're just waiting for Jesus and they don't really know what to do, and so they kind of fall back on what's familiar to them, and they're fishermen, so they're fishing. Others think that, you know what, maybe they've actually taken some steps back, reverting back to their old way of living and thinking. Why were they fishing? It's unclear. But I think what is clear as you read through that whole chapter is the sense that Peter's lost. Because he has already encountered the risen Christ. And he knows that Jesus told them that this is where he's going to be. And so they're there expecting Jesus to come. But he's really lost. He doesn't really know whether he no longer fits into God's plan and purposes for him or not. You really get the sense that he doesn't really know what his purpose is anymore. But Jesus, he comes and he reminds Peter that I still have a purpose for you. I still have a purpose for you. And listen to what Jesus says in verse 18 through 19. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. And so this is Jesus describing Peter's former way of living, right? When he's young. In other words, when you think about someone who is young, you think about someone who is strong, someone who is able to do these things for themselves. And that's who he was. Relied on his abilities, self-sufficient, self-righteous. But then Jesus says, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show what kind of death he was to glorify God. So what is Jesus saying? What Jesus is saying is this, Peter, you have once declared that I will be willing to die for my belief and my faith that you are the Son of God. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, indeed, you will die. You will have enough faith to even face death. But you're going to persevere in this calling. You're going to persevere in your faith, not by your ability to do things, right? It's not when he's young, when he's able to dress himself, when he's able to walk wherever he wants, but it's when he's old, when he stretches out his hands and another will dress you and carry you. There's a sense that Peter is powerless. He no longer has the ability, that he has to rely on someone else. He has to be completely dependent on someone else to lead him and to dress him. And I think what Jesus is saying to Peter is this, that you're going to fulfill the purpose that I have for you as you learn to depend on me, as you learn to lean into my grace for you, as you learn this truth that it's in your weakness that my grace will be sufficient for you. That my power maybe will be made perfect in your life. And that's really the imagery that Jesus is using, right? that Jesus is telling Peter that he will have the courage someday to die for his confession that Jesus is Lord and Savior, but not because of his zeal and his commitment to Christ, but because of his humility in finally being able to depend on God. Because his love for Jesus now will no longer be something that he thinks to himself that he has to earn, but it will be a response to the love that Jesus ultimately demonstrated for him on the cross. And notice how it's only after Peter recognizes his weakness. It's only when Peter is confronted with his heart, his tendency to rely on himself, that Jesus says, now you are finally ready to what? To feed my sheep, to tend to my lamb. In other words, now you are finally ready to help others to experience grace and mercy in their own lives as well. Because it's after Peter's failures that Peter was finally able to take his eyes off of himself and finally was able to fix his eyes on Jesus. And it's when Peter was able to finally recognize that Jesus did for him what he could never do for himself when he received that grace and his mercy into that life, into his heart. It's in that humility that Peter is able to go to demonstrate grace and mercy now to others who are in desperate need. It's when Peter was humbled that he was able to demonstrate the reality of the gospel to those around him. It's not Jesus using us through his in our strength, in our abilities. And now I'm not saying that our talents and our strengths aren't important. But Jesus always uses our weakness because it's in our weakness that his grace is made perfect, that his grace is demonstrated for others. In our failures, Jesus sees us and he comes to us. In our failures, he exposes our hearts so that we can see his grace and mercy. And in our failures, ultimately, he restores our purpose that he has spoken into our lives. So the one thing for us again is this, that when we fail him, he rescues us through his love and he restores us to his hope. So how do we live this out? Next steps. Just broke it up into learning to abide in our prayers. So first, we learn to admit. Just like Peter, we learn to admit our limits, our weaknesses. We learn to admit our failures. And then even as we learn to admit, we believe. We believe in God's promises for us. We believe in his grace and his mercy for our lives. And then as we believe, we intercede, we ask God to help us in our specific struggles. We ask God for his strength and his power so that we are able to overcome. And then as we intercede, then we have to decide, right? We decide to move forward in our obedience and we take responsibility for our lives. And then as we decide, we express thanks. We thank God for the good work that he will accomplish in and through our lives. We abide, we admit, we believe, we intercede, we decide, and we express thanks. Okay? And I just feel like as we close out our time together, I would love for us to abide in Christ this morning. So can you stand with me as we close out our time together? I think the story of Peter's failures and Jesus dealing with Peter's failures, it hits home in all of our lives. Because all of us know exactly what Peter must have felt and what he must have struggled with. Because I don't think there's any of us here in this place that can truly say that we've never failed God, that we've never stumbled in our relationship with God. In fact, I would say that for the majority of us, our tendency is to rely on our strengths, to rely on our abilities. But God comes to us today and reminds us that it's not about what we are able to do, but it's about what Christ has already done for us. And he comes to us, inviting us to admit to our failures and our shortcomings. Because it's only when we experience these failures in our lives that we're able to see our hearts, our tendency to rely on ourselves. And Jesus speaks his grace and his mercy in our lives. And he wants to speak hope into us again. Because I don't know about you, but as I reflect back on this past year, as we are slowly getting ready to close out the year 2024, I know that in so many ways that I've failed God. I'm sure in so many ways I've disappointed him, that I didn't live up to the promises that I've made, that I fell short over and over and over again. But I think this story this morning reminds me, and hopefully it'll remind all of us, that God is not done with us. That what defines our lives is not our failures, but what defines our lives is Jesus on the cross, dying for our sins and rising again to give us new life. Now the question is, will you invite him in? Will you admit to your weaknesses? Will you admit to your struggles? Will you admit to your tendency to depend on yourself, to become self-righteous? Will you confess it so that Jesus can speak his hope into us? Can I invite us this morning as we close out our time together to spend a little bit of time . Let's admit our shortcomings. Let's believe in the promises that he has spoken into our lives. Let's intercede asking for his help. Let's decide that we're going to move forward in obedience, not because we're able to, but because he is gracious. And let's express thanks to God for all that he has done, and despite our shortcomings, all that he will continue to do. So can I just invite us to spend some time doing that this morning as we reflect on just even our walk with God through this past year? And then after a little bit, I'll invite Johan to close us out in closing worship. So can we do that, church? Let's pray a little bit and let's respond to Jesus' grace and mercy for us this morning. Let's pray together.